read them out for those who are maybe just on a phone. We've got four intimations this week. Firstly, Elspeth will be on holiday until the 20th of October, Tuesday 20th of October, and anyone requiring the services of the minister should contact Margaret Hunter on 07867 482303 for details. We will be running the Blythswood Christmas Shoebox Appeal this year, but due to the current restrictions, it will be cash donations only. Envelopes are available outside the church and can be handed in on the 11th of October and the 25th of October between 12 and 1 or pass to an elder. Next, regular giving. We would encourage everyone giving regularly to the church to consider setting up a standing order with their bank to help reduce cash handling and to help keep everyone as safe as possible. Forms are available and help is on hand to complete these. Please speak to Catherine McGurk, Margaret Nielsen or Margaret Hunter for further information. And anyone wishing to attend their fortnightly church service is reminded to book a place with Grace Graham on 07823388152. So that's if anyone's wanting to go to the actual physical service in the church, then that's enough. They should contact Grace on that number. A responsive psalm this morning is Psalm 111, which I shall begin. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works.
He has shown his people the power of his works and given them the heritage of the nations.
The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness.
He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. And our first praise is from the Purple Hymn Book 378. Praise to the holiest in the height, which should come up on the screens now.
Thank you.
The Bible passage that we'll be looking at this morning is from Mark's Gospel. It's a fairly lengthy passage, but it does include the well-known story of Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law. And I'd like to now read an imaginative recreation of the story from the point of view of one of the neighbours. So, Bible reading. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. Well, she was my neighbour, and there she was, sick in bed, and just about to have her 15 minutes of fame. Right then, that gospel written by the boy Mark. It doesn't tell you her name, of course, or her daughter's name either. But her girl was married to that big fisherman, Simon, he was called when he grew up in the town. But of course, that's before he took up with the man Jesus. None of us could imagine what had gotten into him. He just went off and left his fishing boats on the shore. And so did his brother Andrew and their friends James and John. No one understood it. It was the talk of the town. Simon was a fisherman. His dad was a fisherman. And his granddad was a fisherman. All the men in that family were fishermen. It was all they did. And now here he was, following around after some kind of street creature. He just wasn't himself. Something or someone had changed him. You know, he was full of enthusiasm for this Jesus and for the things that Jesus taught. That was all very well, everyone thought. But where did he think his livelihood was coming from? How was he going to keep food on the table and a roof over their heads? His mother-in-law couldn't help but be worried. And then came that day, the one you'll be hearing about later. She was sick in bed with a fever, feeling miserable, aching all over. And now there were all these folk coming into the house, and only her daughter Simon's wife there to serve them. She wanted to get up and help, but she was just too sick. And then it happened. They told the man Jesus about her. They came to the bedside at once. He took her hands and looked into her eyes, deep into her soul. He saw her frustrations, her love for her children, and how she wasn't very happy about Simon leaving his fishing boats and running off after Jesus. When he took her hand and looked into her eyes, he knew everything there was to know about her, and it was all right. He took her hand and lifted her up. She forgot about her fever, her aches and her pains, her worries about Simon. She just wanted to do something for this Jesus, to make some kind of response. And she did what she knew best how to do. She got up and fed him and his friends. Peter and Andrew were called disciples of Jesus. They weren't the only ones. From that day there was a lot of us, men and women, whose lives Jesus had touched. Some of us were healed of sickness, like my neighbour, Simon's mother-in-law. All of us experienced his understanding, his love. Most of us aren't mentioned by name, but that doesn't matter. He had transformed our lives, and we wanted only to give something back to him, to serve him in whatever little way we could. Peter played his part, and yes, so did Andrew and James and John and the rest, but so did we. We're separated by 2,000 years. But you know with Jesus that time and space don't really matter. And I wonder if you've been touched by him the way we were. For you know that he is present with you, just as he was in Simon's home that day. He can take your hand and smile into your eyes, look into your soul and know your needs. And you can know his love and his healing. And your life can be changed like our lives were. In fact, every time we saw him, we felt his love again, and you can do too. I know that each time you do, you want to respond. You want to get up and serve him, and serve those that Jesus loves. We found ways to serve him, and I know that you'll find your ways too. Just let him take your hand and lift you up. Amen. Let us pray. God, we've come to worship. We may worship often, or only occasionally, but whenever and wherever we do, you are there, and your spirit makes the time special. God, we have come together in purpose and spirit to worship you. We may be in with our families, we may be by ourselves, but we worship with a massive community, with angels and archangels, with people of every colour and every nation. We worship as those who went before us worshipped, to praise, to reflect, to receive through Jesus. God, we come together to worship, to declare your greatness and your goodness, to feel the wonder of your presence, to listen to what you have to say, to resolve afresh to live as your people through the help of your Spirit. We worship not because we are good, not because our lives are glorious, but because we are ordinary people who make a mess of things. We're human beings who let you down, let others down, and let ourselves down. We know what you must think of us and ourselves, and so we seek your mercy. We are here also because we have heard that there is good news, that there is someone with power and authority who is on our side. And that someone is Jesus. He is someone who lived our life as it ought to be lived. He is someone with your authority, someone we call Messiah, someone we call Wonderful, someone we call God. For his life, for his death on the cross, for his rising from the dead, for his return to heaven, for his gift of the Holy Spirit, we praise you indeed. We rejoice in being saved from our failure and folly. We marvel in our new life as your adopted children. And we will now pray together in the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our next praise will be hymn 544, When I Needed a Neighbour, You Were There. I'm going to ask Miriam to read today's gospel passage.
Today's gospel passage comes from Mark chapter 1, reading from verse 21. Jesus drives out an impure spirit. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit hit the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were also amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority he even gave orders to impure spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Jesus heals many. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Jesus prays in a solitary place. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, James got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place. Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Jesus heals a man with leprosy. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter the town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word.
Thanks very much, Miriam. Like most large organizations, the army carries out performances of its officers. One young officer cadet's report, written by his commanding officer, stated that his men would follow him anywhere, only out of curiosity. It seemed that the cadet was a bit lacking in his leadership abilities. What is it that makes leaders? What is it that gives them the ability to get others to do what they want? What makes a leader? Is it tradition, rank, charisma, courage, wisdom, competence, imagination, optimism? What is it that gives people the ability to lead? What is it that gives them their power and authority? And the power and authority is something that the first readers of Mark's Gospel had collided with head on. Many scholars agree that Mark's Gospel was written sometime around AD 60, a community of Jewish Christians, probably in Rome, certainly outside Palestine. And it was at the time that Emperor Nero singled out the Christians for serious persecution. Nero had the power and authority to make life very difficult for them. He had the power and authority to condemn them to torture and death, violent and horrific deaths. Nero wielded the power and authority of the Roman state. In the face of that power, why should this community of Christians in Rome continue to follow Jesus? What power and authority did Jesus have? Why should they continue to follow him and not follow Nero's orders to abandon their new faith? And Mark sets out to demonstrate not only the kind of power and authority that Jesus had, but also where it came from. In the passage we read this morning, Mark reminds the early Christians what real authority is and whose hands it rests in. The passage Miriam read for us is Mark's account of a typical day in the life of Jesus in the first period of his ministry. Jesus is recorded as preaching, teaching, casting out demons, healing, and generally making quite an impression on the locals in Capernaum, which is the place where Andrew and Peter had their homes and which had become their base of operations. It was a flourishing little town and customs post on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. And the action begins on a Sabbath morning and goes through to the next morning when Jesus sets off on his wider mission. It's a typical day in the life of Jesus at that period of his life. And it begins with Jesus in a synagogue. He's invited to preach, which indicates that they already had established a reputation of the teacher, but it was an honour to be asked to address the synagogue congregation. And Jesus is a star turn. His preaching impresses the congregation with its authority. It was new and different and direct. In contrast with their usual teachers, Jesus preached with a power and authority which was undeniable. Rabbis at the time tended to be very derivative, repeating principles and precedents of the predecessors, quoting rabbinic teachings and traditional sources in the same way that a modern lawyer will argue his case by referring to the authority of previous cases and similar facts, arguing that the same decision should apply to the case in hand. Rabbis taught in a similar manner, constantly referring to the past, constantly referring to the authority of others. Jesus was different. Mark doesn't actually tell us what he said, but he does tell us that it impressed the audience with his authority. So Jesus, in his manner and his delivery, had teaching and authority. The service takes a surprising turn when it's interrupted by a demon-possessed man who shouts out at Jesus, interrupting the service. Even the powers of darkness recognize the authority of Jesus. The unclean spirit or spirits recognize Jesus. They know who and what he is. And with no fuss, no ceremony, no ritual, Jesus casts out the demon and restores the man to his right mind. Demon possession is not something we believe in modern times, though where would the horror film industry be without it? But it was very real to the people of biblical times, and a preacher who did not challenge it would not have had much of a reputation. So whether it was hysteria or hypochondria or some sort of attention-seeking behaviour, Jesus is able to restore calm and order. He showed his authority to challenge and overcome evil. After the service, Jesus and his companions go back to Peter's house, where Peter's mother-in-law is sick. Jesus heals her in a very matter-of-fact way. No drama, only a hand touching another hand. Peter's mother-in-law is instantly restored to health and immediately offers the traditional hospitality to her guests. and Jesus spends the rest of the evening healing many sick people that are brought to him. His authority has been shown in his words, in his exorcism, and now in his healing. Jesus has power over illness and pain. The healing takes place on the Sabbath, and while nothing is made of it at the time, the Sabbath and Jesus' continual breaching of it became a source of serious conflict with the religious authorities, showing that Jesus had authority over justice, tradition and custom. There is no sphere of life outwith Jesus' power. But all this healing takes its toll on Jesus, and he goes out into the darkness of the night to pray. After giving so much of himself, after pouring himself out for the people of Capernaum, Jesus needs time to be alone with God. Mark does not tell us the contents of his prayers, but it's obviously an intimate conversation between Father and Son. Often when Jesus is exhausted, he goes off and prays in the night and comes back renewed, his sense of mission re-empowered. This is a source of the power and authority that Jesus wielded. It comes from God. As the Roman officer later pointed out, Jesus is a man under orders. He does not act on his own account. He follows orders. His power and authority is the power and authority of God. And in the face of that, the power and authority of tradition and custom, the power and authority of evil, the power and authority of nature, even the power and authority of the Roman emperor, the power and authority of the structures of the world, in the face of the power and authority of God, all fade into insignificance. Jesus spoke and acted with the authority of one who lived in total obedience to God. Jesus spoke and acted with the authority of one who was from God, but it was an authority that was not used for self-glory or self-empowerment. He always made sure that the least of his followers, the blind, the weak, the poor, the women and the children, those who were despised by the people in authority at the time, he always made sure that they knew that God loved them and that God had no time for hypocrisy or self-importance. Jesus had the authority of a true servant of God. He spoke, he lived, and he acted in the name and in obedience to the one who sent him into the world. He had and has the power and authority to change lives, bring healing and wholeness and balance. It was that power and authority that enabled the early Christians to defy the Roman emperor, and it is that power and authority that enables us to defy the ways of the world and to live a truly godly life. Amen. And may God add his blessing to this preaching of his word. Our next praise is hymn number 457, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Hymn 457. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us offer up our prayers for the world. Lord, we wait, we watch, we long for you. Renew our powers, refresh our spirits, restore our well-being. For you give new strength to the faint and power to the powerless. May your church be found working among those who lack resources or rights. May we seek to care for those who care for ourselves. We pray for the lonely and the humiliated. We pray for relief organisations throughout the world. Lord, be to them a tower of strength. For great are you, O Lord, and mighty is your power. We pray for the great powers of the world, the strong nations and mighty governments. May their power be used properly, that the poor are protected, the weak are not exploited, and that no one is oppressed. We remember those who have accepted poverty and vulnerability for the sake of others. Lord, be to them a tower of strength, for great are you, O Lord, and mighty is your power. We give thanks for all who have cared for us in times of weakness, for those who have uplifted our spirits and given us new hope. We pray for our friends and our loved ones, especially any who are finding life difficult at this time. We pray for any in our community that may feel neglected or rejected. Lord, be to them a tower of strength, for great are you, O Lord, and mighty is your power. We pray for all who are in weakness of body, mind, or spirit, all who have come to the end of their own resources. Remember all who are losing their mobility or agility, those who are losing their memories, and all who have lost their grip on reality, for those who no longer trust in anyone, and those who have doubts in the love of God, for all who are caring for loved ones in illness. Lord, be to them a tower of strength. For great are you, O Lord, and mighty is your power. We give thanks that Christ is our healer and our redeemer. He will not allow us to be lost. We pray for loved ones departed who are renewed and refreshed in the love and light of God. Lord, be to them a tower of strength. For great are you, O Lord, and mighty is your power. On this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final praise this morning is 182. Now thank we all our God. Hymn 182. conclude our service with the blessing. God, the Holy and Strong One, who gives power to the powerless, who restores the weary, and gives new life to his people, give us his peace. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, this day and evermore. Amen. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, Robert.
Hope there wasn't too much background noise.
Thank you, Robert. That was very good.
Quite great.
Before we leave, everybody, can I just say a quick, very, very special happy birthday to Margaret. Margaret was 90 this week, and she wasn't in church last Sunday, so we couldn't sing happy birthday to her in church last Sunday, but we're all here today, so if everybody would quite like to wish her a very happy birthday for Wednesday past dear.
Happy birthday, Margaret. Did you have a nice birthday, Margaret? I had a wonderful birthday,
thank you. I didn't if what was going to happen, but it just went on all day.
That's excellent.
After me, Ellen and Gordon were great, so I'm very, very fortunate.
Very good. Glad you had a nice day.
Oh, wonderful. And it's just another number, you know.
But a milestone.
A milestone, that's true.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe I've lived to 90.
And I'll tell you, you're looking absolutely great for it.
Brilliant.
You certainly are.
Thanks so much. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That's good. Does everybody want to be put into groups, or are you just wanting to stay in one group to chat for 5 minutes, or? Can't hear any of you.
Probably better in groups, because if everybody talks at once, you don't hear them.
Right, Catherine, we'll maybe need some assistance here.
Yeah, that's fine, if I could remember how to do it.
That's what I was thinking. Oh, breakout rooms, there we go.
Oh, yeah, doing better than me, I can't find them.
Will I do three? Yeah. Or four?
Do you want to stop recording as well, Margaret?
Yes, I will. too many things at once.
Mine stopped a wee bit early on.